WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. The man accused of making racist threats against a black activist in Charlottesville pleads not guilty. For many crops in Virginia, Wednesday's rain was too little, too late. And the battle for control of Virginia's legislature is breaking records in political fundraising, and some of that money is paying for ads on your TV. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, October 17th. The white man accused of cyberstalking and making racist threats against a black activist in Charlottesville has pleaded not guilty. The Daily Progress reports that 31-year-old Daniel McMahon entered his plea Wednesday in federal court in Charlottesville. McMahon was indicted last month for using his social media accounts to intimidate activist Don Gathers and to interfere with Gathers' campaign for a seat on the Charlottesville City Council. During a September hearing, a prosecutor presented comments McMahon had made on social media as evidence that he threatened physical violence. For many crops in Virginia, Wednesday's rain was too little, too late. The National Agriculture Statistics Service shows stressed crops and low soil moisture. Charles Fishburn with VPM News reports.
Virginia farmers have been wrestling with drought on and off since it almost wiped out Jamestown in the early 1600s, and 2019 was another hard year. Elaine Lidholm, Virginia Department of Agriculture.
Corn and soybeans generally are suffering almost everywhere.
And in the South and Southwest.
Particularly hay, which of course is crucial for beef cattle producers.
Ironically, not all crops have been hurt by the drought.
Specifically cotton and peanuts. They seem to love the weather.
She says a slow, steady rain might help some hay crops, but more likely,
it will help the quality of the water that the animals are drinking.
One thing that hasn't changed since colonial times: Virginia is still farm country, and agriculture is still the state's largest private industry. Charles Fishburn, WMRA News.
The battle for control of Virginia's legislature is breaking records in political fundraising. New campaign finance reports show General Assembly candidates have raised around $53 million so far. That is up about 67% from the last time that all 140 seats were up for grabs in 2015, according to the nonpartisan Virginia Public Access Project. September's fundraising totals show that Democrats have an edge in many of the Commonwealth's most competitive races. Ben Pavier with VPM News has more.
Democrats in the House now have over $2 million more cash on hand than Republicans, although they trail in the Senate. Democrat Deborah Rodman, who's running for a Senate seat in Henrico County, led the pack by raising over $1 million in September alone.
That's an astronomical amount for a state Senate campaign.
Rich Marr teaches political science at Randolph-Macon College. He says Democrats are getting a big boost from out-of-state donors, since Virginia has one of the only competitive elections this year.
I mean, I think what we're seeing is what we're expecting in a blue wave election.
Key GOP lawmakers like Speaker of the House Kirk Cox, Senator Amanda Chase, and Senator Glenn Sturtevant all brought in less money than their Democratic challengers. A spokesman for Republican House Majority Leader Todd Gilbert says cash doesn't translate to votes.
That's Ben Pavier with VPM News reporting. Well, some of that money is buying ads on TV, as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Two suburban Richmond Senate races are burning up campaign cash as the election season heats up, throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars at media buys. The races also happen to be in two of the most competitive districts this year. Quentin Kidd of Christopher Newport University says those seats may end up determining the balance of power this year in the state Senate.
Senate District 12 and Senate District 10, which are those two suburban districts, are sort of ground zero in the fight between Republicans and Democrats over who is going to control the state Senate. And I think that's why you're seeing all this money get attracted to them.
The two seats are currently held by Republicans Glenn Sturtevant and Siobhan Donovan, two incumbent members fighting to keep their seats. Kyle Kondig at the University of Virginia says it's notable that the biggest ad buys are in races where Democrats are on the offensive.
They won 19 seats in 2015, and none of those 19 seats really seem to be that much of a Republican target. So the map is just really the Democrats playing offense, trying to pick up two seats or maybe even more than that.
Republicans currently hold 21 seats in the state Senate, and Democrats hold 19. So if Democrats are going to take over next year, they're going to need to flip at least two seats to get the majority. Michael Pope.
Fears of a government shutdown are once again hanging over the Commonwealth this fall. Virginia Public Radio's Matt Laszlo reports from the Capitol.
Virginia's economy gets hit the hardest during government shutdowns. which is why Virginia Republican Congressman Rob Whitman wants lawmakers to go without pay until they pass their budgets. And Virginia Democratic Senator Tim Kaine was able to help pass a bill guaranteeing back pay to federal workers furloughed during future shutdowns.
My goal was both to give a back pay guarantee, but once you have guaranteed you're going to stroke a check and everybody's going to get their money, why would you shut government down? So we do view it as sort of a, if not a complete fail-safe, kind of an emergency break.
Kaine now wants to extend that guarantee of back pay to federal contractors. But Virginia Republican Congressman Ben Klein fears that effort could have a lot of unintended consequences.
If all that does is make the different sides more rigid in their positioning because there is no danger of a shutdown, then you have an additional concern that's created while you're trying to solve a different one.
Lawmakers have until just before Thanksgiving to work out a spending agreement. But with the two parties continuing to jockey over the president's southern border wall, fears of a potential shutdown are growing in Washington. Reporting from the Capitol, I'm Matt Laszlo.
Finally today, the Port of Virginia is set to begin dredging to create the deepest shipping center on the East Coast. The $350 million project has caught the attention of bird lovers. They want to use excess sand and mud to create a new habitat for species displaced by the Hampton Roads Bridge and Tunnel expansion. From Virginia Public Radio, Sandy Hausman reports.
Bird lovers warn that about 25,000 terns and gulls will be displaced from their traditional nesting grounds as the state prepares to add new tunnels and wider roads along its east coast. That's why Steve Holmer at the American Bird Conservancy is calling on the state to build a new island offshore, a site that raccoons and foxes can't reach.
If you get even a few predators in these colonies, they can literally wipe out the whole thing. It's really important that they have an island where they can be safe and protected.
Islands have been built around dredge sites in North Carolina and on the Gulf Coast, and with Virginia planning to dredge its port in January, there should be plenty of sand and mud for building. The state has said it's not necessary now that the Trump administration is choosing not to enforce the migratory bird treaty, but Holmer says that's no excuse.
We have a responsibility to mitigate for things that we can fix.
Bird experts hope to meet with the Secretary of Virginia's Department of Transportation later this month. I'm Sandy Hausman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.